It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, Paulie!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoy.
All right, thank you very much, Steven Tyler. Who knew? Who knew Steven Tyler had a country album? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's David Diaz, by the way, Vice Mayor David Diaz. And he's on the Lake Havasu City Council, of course. And, well, we had a cohort scheduled with you, but he's running for mayor. So
yeah, due to the rules.
It's not really fair.
Right.
Exactly.
We try to play by the rules.
Right, right, right. Exactly. So, David Diaz here in his stead, and it is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. We're broadcasting live from the Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink, and we are proud of the fact we have No Sink, you know?
Yeah.
Well, no, Wayne thought we were kind of whiny
well,
about
you,
it.
Didn't you, someone give you a little play school sink at one time? Oh, there it is. There it is. Up in the
Wayne thought we were being whiny about it. I'm like, no, it's a pride. it's a pride issue. There you go. To line up with Common Ground this morning, right?
There are dishes in that sink.
We're talking about pride nights at ball games,
oh,
right?
Brother, yeah.
But anyway, nah, it was a good conversation. Actually, it was a really good show. If you guys didn't catch it, check out the archive. It's in the Common Ground archive at KNTRtalk.com. And believe it or not, you know who Dr. Paul is, right? Dr. Paul and Jim Chaney, actually, I think they saw eye to eye in about 95% of what they were talking about. It was, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone for a minute. But anyway, I digress. As I say, almost every show. We have a Lake Havasu City Council meeting tonight.
Yep,
and
5:30.
Kind of 5:30, mm-hmm. Kind of stepping away from the political questions. God, thank goodness for one day.
Yeah, I want this election to be over with.
But at the 11:30 mark-ish, Lydia Henry, called her Durst.
Yeah,
Lydia Henry is calling in, the county
recorder.
County recorder. Oh, my gosh, I almost gave her a demotion, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's more important than being the recorder.
Sorry, Matt. Matt Smith was like, what are you talking about? County recorder. Lydia Henry is going to call in. She just released a press release with a bunch of important dates on it.
Yes, she's very knowledgeable on that.
And one of them's tomorrow, of
mm-hmm.
those dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that date is?
Isn't it it's the first the day of early voting?
First day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I suggest everybody just kind of chill. I mean, you don't have to rush out and get your ballot in. You really don't.
Don't. You really don't.
It's not because I vote on election day. I'm a true believer in the October surprise theory, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things always happen.
Yep. And I did hear, and maybe Lydia can verify this, I did hear that about 68% of the people in Havasu will vote early.
Now, is that mail-in, or do they just vote early?
I'll have to ask her. I just heard it was a... That's a lot. I thought that was a pretty high number.
I'm gonna rail on somebody from. If you ask Adrian Fontes, almost everybody votes mail-in. I mean, he's doing a tour around the state for mail-in to support mail-in.
Nothing the Democrats do is by mistake.
Right.
Hate to
so
say that,
does that mean if you become governor, we're all going to be mailing in our ballots, Adrian?
Right.
I would really like to ask him that.
That's a great question.
I expect to interview him if, you know, when and if the primaries end and, you know, Gina might win, or you have, who's running again? It's,
Kolodkin?
Yes, Kolodkin. Mm-hmm. You know, he could win. Whoever gets the nomination, we're going to have to interview both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I interview one, I'm going to interview them both, and I'd just like to ask Secretary Fontes, hey, you know, is that your long-term goal? I don't see that as an unreasonable question because every other Democrat-run state
just a step up, go up the ladder, right?
Is pretty close to that,
mm-hmm.
or if they're not already there. So anyway, council meeting tonight, and you guys are adopting expected to adopt a large budget.
Yeah, we had the let me give you a quick recap on the last council meeting because it'll answer a lot of questions. So we had some pretty we started at 5:30, we got done about 9:40, so it was a long meeting.
I heard that.
But we had some big items on the agenda, Paul. We had fire station number 7. We approved that. That's going to start construction probably in digging holes with the shovels in July. So
now, is there a groundbreaking
ceremony? Yeah, they're going to have a groundbreaking ceremony. And
nice.
That was something that's been – I've talked to some ex-firemen here, people used to be on the fire board and so forth. That thing was approved back in 2005 that it was necessary. So 21 years later, it's government.
Wow.
We're going to start fire station number 7.
You're not supposed to say that.
Yeah,
now.
I know. But we also have a CMAR contract, which is contract management at risk, so where you have guaranteed cost. For that project. I think it's about $9 million total when you add up everything all together. And it's right on the corner of Sloop and McCulloch. So we did that. We also adopted to be put on the November general election ballot the general plan, the 2026 general plan. The last time we did a general plan was 2016. Every 10 years by state statute, it has to have a new general plan. And we really tried to reach out to the people. We really tried to have workshops, all kinds of social media interactions, and I mean they really, really try their best, but you can't bring a horse to water. So, what I'm asking people to do, you can go on our website, thelakehabitsaz.gov. It's about a 115-page document, and read that general plan. You have a few months to read it because they're going to be voting on it, the public, on the general election in November. And I hate people to vote just not to. Not knowing what they're voting on.
Well, let's hope more people vote on the general plan than participated in the public input portion.
Correct.
I heard that was pretty poor.
Yeah, I know. We tried to pat ourselves in the back a bit. We did it, but you know, I made it a comment at a meeting too. Yeah, that's great, guys. But we need to get more. We have a city of 60,000 people. I know they're not all adults, but a big portion are. So we do need to see something we could do different to get people involved. You know,
I heard about 60 people. Left comments, maybe?
Yeah, and then we had like...
Out of 60,000?
Yeah, then we had like 900 surveys that were done out of...
That's good.
So anyway, we'll
that's a little better.
We have time to figure that one out.
Uh-huh.
We also approved to... And that's going to be on the agenda tonight for the final approval, but we approved the five-year CIP budget and also the operational budget.
Capital Improvement Plan.
Capital Improvement Plan, mm-hmm. 5 years out. So in that Capital Improvement Plan, there's a... There's a second pool. There's a splash pad. There's possible baseball athletic fields. There's other items. There's a police safety storage area.
Oh.
So there's a lot of good things that the city needs and that the citizens want. So
back to that second pool. That's possibly the next Fire Station 7. You know that, right?
I know. We had the meeting last year when
I just can't believe it.
Well, we had a meeting last year when we were going to allow the appoint a contractor to start building it, and we kind of put a stop to that because there were some things that we had some concerns about. So I made a motion at that meeting to, after we went into executive session because we were getting into some legal stuff, we came back out and I made a motion to put it on hold for this year's CIP budget. And then we got the CIP budget, somehow it got pushed back to the 2930 CIP budget.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So, We'll work on that. We'll figure that out. There's some public-private partnerships. Maybe we could get some grants. We have Zep Azari is doing a great job writing grants for us, so we'll work on that. But that's eventually going to have to happen.
Okay. Know? So budget adoption
tonight.
And how much is that? The total?
The total budget, if you add them both together, is about $340 million.
Right, right.
We have road infrastructure, water and sewer, I mean, all kinds of things in there. And it's all available online. Tonight we have to adopt it because it has to be put into effect by July 1 as per state statute, you know.
Where does the $35 million stand in that budget that is earmarked for the bridge?
That's in the budget. It's it might be a CIP item. I'm not
okay.
sure. But that's in the budget, $35.5 million. We received that money in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it in some interest-bearing accounts at this point. We've actually gained almost $3.2 million in interest.
Whoa.
All that money has to go towards the bridge. Sometimes I have to chuckle a bit because I hear on social media, we don't need a second bridge. Use that money for something else. If we don't use that money for the bridge, because Leo Biasucci and Sonny Borelli and John Gillette and Regina Cobb at that time, they got that money to us based on a safety access bridge.
Right.
We'd have to give that money back.
Yeah, there's no commingling of funds on these folks.
No, there is no commingling of funds.
Right.
So we already have an area where it's going to go. We just we had a little hiccup about a month and a half ago where we were getting word from the from Coast Guard there was going to be a 7-month delay because of a permit issue. So I got involved with Leo and I got Cal involved and Jess Knutson and Ron Foggins, and we had Leo do a Zoom meeting. And we got all that cleared up. He was going on California time because the guy's office is in California. And the same thing that we do here in 45 days in Arizona, it takes him 7 months in California.
Oh.
So we educated him, and he said, okay, I got you. We're ready to rock. So we're back on track. We're looking at getting all the permitting done for that by August, September, and construction could actually start either late this year or very, very early next year. And then it's an 18-month project.
Wow. That's
finally.
That's a lot of heads that came together and cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Yeah.
That is excellent.
I had Leo call. Like I heard it was 7 months delay. So I said we're hearing Arizona State Parks is saying it's 7 months late because they have an issue with the permit. So he called his contact over there in Phoenix because he was in Phoenix, and they said no, it's not us, it's Coast Guard. So I told Jess that, and Jess said no, we're good with the Coast Guard. So I said, Leo, Zoom meeting time. Let's get them all in the room. And we did, and it took us about an hour. We figured it all out, and we're back on track.
Nice.
But that's also a good reason why it's nice to have local officials like myself and Cal that have relationships with our state officials. We can make a phone call and answer the phone.
So. Yeah, we had a candidate on yesterday that was talking about that, the relationship with county officials as well.
Same
your
thing.
County supervisors.
Same thing, yeah.
Right. Board appointments. I know you're big right now. You're the liaison for Go Lake Havasu. Okay,
account,
and
yep.
what other one?
So
are you PNZ?
No, I'm not PNZ. We don't have a council liaison for the planning and zoning.
Okay.
The Go Lake Havasu has I'm the council liaison. That gets changed every year if it needs to be. And then Jenny Koch is the liaison for the PED. And then there's other ones around town that we all get. At the January retreat, we decide who's that.
But they're all hopefully elected officials, right?
They're all elected officials.
Okay. Yeah.
Tonight, we have some openings on the Board of Adjustment, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the Parks and Rec Commission. So we're going to be voting on those three to fill those openings.
Okay. Now, I'm not a good Jeopardy candidate. I'm a good Jeopardy candidate, but not as good to be on PNZ. I don't think I could do it. And I know what planning and zoning does.
Mm-hmm.
What is Board of Adjustment?
So Board of Adjustment would be like, in really simple terms, so Board of Adjustment, someone comes before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and they say no to something. And then it goes to the City Council, and the City Council also says no. A person can debate that decision, and then it goes to basically a court, which is the Board of Adjustment.
Oh.
And that's why it
so
rarely...
So it's a mediation board.
It's almost it is a mediation board.
Okay.
So they don't agree with what the P&Z and what the final tally was with the council, so they want to take it to a mediation board, and that's where the Board of Adjustment steps in. It happens very often. I mean, very few and far between, but it does happen.
I love it when I go out on the limb and guess.
Yeah.
No, it sounds very very logical. What are the other... There was two others or one other?
No, there's...
For the boards?
It's Board of Adjustment, Planning and Zoning,
and
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
That one's self-explanatory.
Yeah, that's...
What are you looking
Cameron
for?
Cameron Moses is the liaison for that.
What are they looking for in a board member for Parks and Rec?
What they're looking for, I believe, and I've sat in some of those meetings, they look for, there's a committee that kind of gives a recommendation to council, but council doesn't have to go by that recommendation. They could say, well, no, that's a good recommendation, but I like this person instead. We'll hear all that tonight.
Okay.
But they look at people that are involved in the community, are trying to get on there for the right reasons. They do an interview with them. They have them send in a resume, and it's usually it's the mayor. And it's the if there's a liaison for that board, it's that person on the council, and then and then some of the staff, and they interview them and ask questions, and they usually over for planning and zoning and parks and rec, they usually get a pretty good amount of applications.
Applicants.
So tonight we're gonna go through those, and we get our packet has all the background of all the people and so forth.
Things that make me go,
Yeah,
I like that one.
yeah, right.
All right. There's another item that's done by law every year at the city and county. All the cities do it. Truth in taxation.
Yeah, truth in taxation. And even though we say we are not, and we are not, we're not raising the property tax rate percentage. It's just 0.6718% per $100. Because housing does get appraised higher. To our great friend Jeannie Kench, we
you're getting her in trouble.
No, I'm not. She knows.
I know.
She knows I love her.
Yeah.
But there is a you have to do a truth in taxation hearing every year on that state statute. So, we're keeping the rate the same as which is 0.6718 per $100 of assessed value.
So that means your assessed value may go up, but that rate
but
that
rate,
is charged
right.
is exactly the same.
Correct. And we haven't raised that rate in quite a while.
Yeah. So it's your own fault if the value of your home goes up.
Yeah. Quit improving your house.
right. Hey, we're gonna go to break, and I'm gonna play one of your favorites. Not your favorite Grand Funk song, but I know it's one of mine.
Okay. It probably is.
Walk Like a Man.
That's a good song.
That's a great song. Right? We'll come back with your favorite.
All right.
How's that sound?
That sounds good.
We always play little Grand Funk Railroad when Vice Mayor David Diaz is here from the Lake Havasu City Council. Don't forget, we've got Lydia Henry at the bottom of the hour. And you can call in, by the way. What do we say, David? Make it what?
Talk radio, not listen radio.
That's right. Or you could do a talk or text.
928-727-5566
if you want to text in. Or you can call us at 928-854-5566. Let's see, 854-5687. And do it before Lydia calls him, by the way. So,
yeah,
right.
Love to get some questions.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I know your baby, she hasn't been around in a while, man.
She was in Hawaii.
Oh, you need to put your headset on, brother. That's all good. I got you. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, she was in Hawaii for a few months doing some nursing work.
That's who I'm playing it for.
Yeah.
It's Trudy.
Yeah, that's right.
I haven't seen Trudy in forever.
Yeah.
She's in Big Bear now?
Not Big Bear right now, yes.
Is that where you're going for the 4th?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
I'm going to enjoy she said it was 68 degrees yesterday. Beautiful.
Oh.
Clear blue skies.
You know what the kids say, right? I'm jelly. I'm jelly, man.
Yeah.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning. I expect the Gen Z to come walking through the door at any minute and give me this. What is Dikembe Mutombo? Remember him?
No.
Don't say jelly, Paul.
He had a commercial where people would throw stuff in the trash and he would block it.
That was hilarious. Also by Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And, boy, you just can't get away from Dallas Finch, right? The mind of Dallas Finch brings us Booby Falls. Restaurant and rodeo, great pizza, sandwiches, and salads, home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street, Havasu. Oh, that would have been perfect for a birthday lunch.
We had a great question to him before we approved his liquor license.
Oh, you did?
I made Nancy Campbell ask him.
You did? Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, like people are wondering, where did the name Booby Falls come from? and he talked about a story about his wife's birthday, and they said, well, you're at the age when you're...
Wait, what?
When your boobies fall.
I was
kidding. And his wife said, that's the name.
Oh, she picked it.
Yeah.
So that's even better.
Yeah. I hear they have excellent meatballs there. I got to go try them. I got to love meatballs.
Are you a meatball guy?
Yeah, they said they have great meatballs there.
Nice. So there's a zoning change on the agenda tonight.
Yeah, and another one, too, I want to talk about, too. So, yeah, zoning change over on Swanson and Mesquite. I'm sorry, Swanson and Magnolia. There is a large dirt lot over there that it's currently zoned for residential, commercial, and health district, and they're asking to have it rezoned to residential, commercial, and health plan development district, and they're trying to put in 68 attached single family homes on individual lots, and they're going to be those types of homes where it's like a barn cave where you have the RV garage on the bottom, second floor is going to be the living area, and mm-hmm. then the very top floor will be like a balcony area to look out over the lake and so forth. It's a really big lot there, and that area, Mesquite and Swanson, those two corridors that's what they're zoned for a high density residential. So that's in front of us. But I did want to also mention, I noticed one more item. A while back, we talked about annexing from the county the old sheriff, Mojave County Sheriff substation,
mm-hmm.
and that's coming up also to increase. It's an ordinance to increase our corporation limits, and that's about that substation that we're taking over. That piece of land. So
we have Mojave County Recorder Lydia Henry on the line. I'm going to ask Lydia to hold on for a moment because we have a text that came in.
Okay.
And this one's for you. 928-727-5566. That's our KNTR Talk text line because it's text radio, not just...
Listen radio.
That's right. What's the timeline for the second bridge, and has there been a name chosen? Ooh, I like that.
Oh, Gary Myers better make sure I answer this one correctly.
So, not the second bridge?
Well, it's not called the second bridge, but it is. There was a large group of people that really put a lot of time and effort into veterans, and they called it the Freedom Bridge. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to eventually get to that point, but we're not there yet. But the timeline would be permitting and all should be done by August. No later than August or early October, August, September, October. Construction will begin late this year or early next year, and then it's about an 18-month construction project.
Okay.
What we're told. So.
Okay, so going back, May of 2028.
Correct. And going back to how long things take, we talked about the fire station earlier. That's about a 12-month project on Sloop and McCulloch.
So when do you see a groundbreaking on the bridge?
I would say it's going to be either in November, December this year or January of next year.
Sorry, Gary, but I have no other reference in which to call it, right? The second bridge. So that's the only
Well, he's going to call me and say, you said the second bridge on the radio.
He always does that. So anyway, anything else you want to report from the city council?
I'm good right now. If you have no other questions, I'm all good to go. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I wanted to go out with a really, really, really good song that we were talking about before we chose Graham Funk, right?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Classic.
So, right, exactly. So, little Peter Frampton?
Lydia was probably not even born when this came out.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. That's a compliment, Lydia.
And if I said she was, I would be in big trouble. So, all right, little Peter Frampton, do you feel like we do? And, well, I was hoping it would get out of this section before we go to break, but that's the way it goes. We'll have the talk box, right?
Yep.
All right. So, Lydia Henry is next. She's the Mojave County Recorder. The backstory on that, David, is I got an email about a week ago on a lot of different dates, right? Election dates
and that sort of thing
and deadlines and that sort of thing. One of those dates is tomorrow.
Yes. And Lydia is the person that has all the information.
Absolutely. All right. And we'll go ahead and take it to break. And little Peter Frampton, because I think I ate too much sugar. I ate some of these things, the Shackalicious candies or something. Marissa shared them with me.
You got a sugar high?
It's her birthday, one of her birthday presents. So I don't know if that is a sugar high or a sugar low.
I don't know. I don't
All right.
know.
David Diaz, our guest, and I'm going to go ahead and take it to break. It says Speak Out 928-727-5566 if you want to text in your question for Lydia Henry. And back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. It's all about the election, and early voting starts tomorrow. Folks, I hope you don't feel like I do right now, because I got kind of a sugar low. And, yeah, that when you're old, you know, that headache kind of kicks in really quick. So, anyway, Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, by Mojave College, also by Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place for Pets, by Legacy Rehab and Care, and A&B Propane. Check them out online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget to buy local, or it is buy local. And I'm going to go to our guest now on the phone. It's Lydia Henry. She is the Mojave County Recorder. Welcome to the show, Lydia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always awesome to have you on the show. So I was going through, I do traffic here as well, scheduling of commercials and that, and one of your commercials expired, and I was like, wow, how did that happen? And it was because of a date that elapsed yesterday, correct?
Yes, the registration deadline was ended yesterday on 6/22.
So what does that mean for the average citizen out there who wants to vote in the primary? Does it mean anything for the general or just the primary?
Just the primary. Every election, you have 29 days prior to election day to register to vote. So come the general, they'll have a new deadline.
I got you. Okay.
So for the primary, you had to be registered, made active voter by June 22nd, which was yesterday.
Okay. And then what's the next big date on the press release that you had that you put out?
Yeah, tomorrow, Wednesday, June 24th. In-person early voting opens at 10 o'clock at the Havasu, Kingman, and Bullhead City Libraries. And then that's also the day ballots are mailed out. So early voting and ballots are mailed 27 days before Election Day. So people will often call tomorrow saying, well, I haven't gotten my early ballot yet, and that's because it's just hitting the mail. I can't have it postmarked before the 24th.
So does that mean that the libraries in Kingman, Havasu, and Bullhead, do they serve, like, in Maricopa County, they have voting centers. Do they serve, like, a voting center, then you can drop off your mail-in ballot?
Yeah, early voting is more like a vote center, because I have paper ballots at each location with any surrounding areas, and then you have the ADA-compliant machine that's called the Express Vote. Uh-huh. That also has all ballot types on there. And so if you're in, you know, Wiki app, you can come to Kingman. If you're in Golden Valley, you could go to Bullhead or Kingman. Certainly up to the voter. And you can vote paper or on that machine. Come election is where you want to vote within your precinct to get your paper ballot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because have precincts ever disappeared? It seems like we didn't have precinct for a while, but we still have precinct voting then. On primary day, correct?
Yeah, so Mojave County is still precinct-based. That's really assigned by the Elections Department of the Board of Supervisors. They decide how many precincts we have. So currently we have 24 precincts with 27 voting locations.
Okay, so the northernmost precinct then would be Colorado City, correct?
Yes, that's called North Canyon.
North Canyon Precinct, that's mm-hmm. right. Because I'm doing the election night show again, and it'll be myself and Ron Gould when we get this thing planned and lifted off the ground. I don't know. I may call you, but I have a feeling you're not picking up the phone that night.
Yeah, so Election Day is really all with the Elections Department. That's your election director, who's Karina Sumner. She's hosting that. She's doing polling locations, all tabulation. In voter registration, we're really just answering the phone of people wondering where they go vote that day.
You said Karina?
Karina Sumner, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that name. So Alan Tempert is retired?
Not officially. He retires on the 3rd of July.
Oh, okay. But Alan has been, oh my goodness, election director for quite a while.
About 24 years, I believe.
Oh my goodness. And
yeah.
Done a great job. I have to, if I could shake Alan's hand right now, I would. But unfortunately, I'm stuck in Lake Havasu City and can't, my arm doesn't go that long. So it doesn't go that far. But Alan, if you're listening, good job. The people of this county are you will be sorely missed.
Definitely, yeah. Alan's been a great partner for elections and to work with. I also think we're in good hands with Karina, so he certainly has trained her and taught her everything he's known for her to be successful, and she'll do great.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to her, see what kind of parting wisdom that Alan left with her. That would be an interesting conversation, I'm sure.
That would be interesting conversation.
So, primary election day. Tell us what day that, I know what day it is, but not everyone knows.
Tuesday, July 21st is primary election day, where you would vote at your assigned precinct polling location, which is open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m.
I'm sure Brandon Bowers would agree with me. It's one of the busiest news days of the every 2 years, for sure. So we stay up late that night.
Yes, and so I always like to tell people that early ballots is the first drop you see 1 hour after the polls close, which is usually about 8 o'clock. It could be 8:30 because the statute reads or after the last voter votes. So if you have a line at 7 o'clock, it might not be exactly at 8 o'clock when those election results are dropping. But those are all the early ballots that have been casted, received, and tabulated in Mojave County prior to Election Day.
But early ballots that are now, people can cast that ballot, those mail-in ballots. They can still drop them off on election day by law now, correct?
So you've always been able to do that, but that is considered a late early.
Right. Does that mean it automatically goes to provisional?
No. A provisional ballot is what you receive on election day when you're not able to be located in the poll book by the poll worker or something is wrong with your record.
I see.
So you're not registered at the right address, your ID doesn't match, things like that.
That's what brings me to my next topic, because you were here, you were sitting right here in chair number one, and we had talked about it, and I said, well, I'm moving, and it's same street address, different condo. And you said, you still need to, what was it, change my voter information and change my driver's license so they match up. Is that right?
Right. So Arizona law, you have to provide your ID to vote. And if your address isn't going to match what's printed on your ID, you're going to have to provide some additional information to match that to your voting record to get a full paper ballot that's now automatic, like right away. If a provisional, that means you've moved, your driver's license doesn't match, and you still need to show that you do live where you're trying to vote.
Then do people still have time to make that change if they're not in compliance?
So you don't have time to make the change, but you have time to prove for that provisional ballot. Mojave County doesn't usually get too many provisionals. Our voters are typically pretty good on, we call it re-registering to vote, because you're already registered. Everything's going to stay the same, but you're updating it, basically. So we don't typically receive too many, but you do have 5 days after Election Day to cure a provisional ballot in order for it to count.
Are you still, your office, are you still working late the Friday before the election, and why is that?
Yes, so July 17th is the last day to vote early in person, and the early voting sites are open until 7 p.m. that night. And then we're working the weekend to complete all those early ballots. Mm-hmm. That way they're sent to elections and they can have them tabulated for that first drop. So all early ballots are going to be captured for the first drop after 1 hour after the polls close on the 21st.
Is there any way, Lydia, do you know how many ballots can be counted in an hour?
I don't know. That would be for Karina.
That's a Karina question. I kind of figured. But it's a lot, right?
It is, but there's a lot of preparation to that. So an early ballot is sent from my office, voted by the voter, returned to us, signature verified, and then it goes to the elections department, and they have workers that open and slice the envelopes to separate the ballot and the envelope to keep the anonymity there.
Okay.
And then they're going to be prepped for tabulation.
I see. So what is your office's role in this entire process? Is it the registration and the record keeping? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's registration, record keeping, but it's also who's voting early in person, who's voting by mail, giving that voting credit, mm-hmm. and then getting them to the elections department to be tabulated.
I got into this conversation with somebody. It wasn't a party official. It was actually a candidate on what they know about my vote, okay? I don't know if you can get into this, but what do those people, what does the Democrat Party, what does the Republican Party, I'm a party not declared. What do they know about, not just that I'm party not declared, but what do they know about my vote? Just that I voted?
Yeah, they'll be voting. So every quarter we're statutorily required to send political parties that sign up to receive the voter registration list. That's going to be active and inactive voters, and it's going to have your voting history, which is just if you voted or not. It doesn't ever say how someone voted, unless you're a PND. If you're party not designated, independent, or an other, it's going to say which primary party ballot you chose that you voted.
That's a rule. Oh, go ahead.
But in a general, it's just going to have voting credit or no voting credit.
But that brings up a really good point. I can choose whichever of three ballots that I want, right?
You can. So if you're party not declared, independent, or other, this year you get to choose a Republican, a Democrat, or a no-labels party ballot. And all of these are party-specific.
Interesting, because RFK is not on the no-labels party ballot this year. So there you go. Tell people what they should be prepared for when they go to the polls to vote early or on primary election day, which is July 21st.
Yeah, so voting in person, you need your Arizona driver's license, and that needs to match your residential address. If you don't have that, you would need an electricity bill, your registration to your vehicle, something that's going to match the voter record. And then in preparation, people are more prepared. They can go online at my.arizona.vote. If you're with a political party, we've put your sample ballot in there so you can look at it. If you're not with a political party, because I don't know what party ballot you're going to choose, we've posted them on our county website under the recorder's office, voter registration, and early voting. We've posted all Republican, Democrat, and no labels so they could see which candidates are going to be on which one.
Okay. Again, folks, you're going to want to go to either the Mojave County Library in Lake Havasu, in Bullhead City, or in Kingman. Those are the early voting sites, correct?
Yes, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. starting tomorrow.
I'm sorry, what was that first number?
10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there you go. And again, we're talking to Lydia Henry. She's the Mojave County Recorder. And we are taking text, by the way, if you want to text in a question at 928-727-5566. You can text your question for Lydia Henry, Mojave County Recorder. And, boy, it's a non-election year for you. Aren't you lucky?
I am.
Are you planning on running again, Lydia?
I do. I plan to run in 2028.
You know, it is one of those positions where you see it's like assessor, recorder, treasurer. Are you term limited?
We are not, no.
You are not. Okay, perfect. And you talk to the former recorder quite a bit, don't you?
Christy and I still talk, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Christy. And what else does the recorder's office do for the people of Mojave County?
Yeah, we record all land documents, anything to do with land. So transfers, mortgages, judgments, parcel plats, survey, records of surveys. We make them all of public record to keep the history of Mojave County land ownership.
And do you have that protection, that deed protection program like the assessor's office has?
We do. Ours was implemented in 2024. It's free. You can subscribe via an active email address. The link is on our website at mojave.gov under the recorder's office. It's called Recorded Document Alert.
Okay.
Once you subscribe, you can add up to 5 names and 5 parcels, and then you'll receive an email of the image of what's being recorded against you or for you. If it's not something that should have been a public record, you would need to contact an attorney or someone within the court system.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you that notice of what's been recorded. And then here before the end of the year, you'll also have a new requirement that any in-person submissions for recording are going to require an ID for recording.
Wow, that's very proactive. What had your office, how did you come up with that?
So it's all been through the legislators. A lot of assessors and recorders have partnered on it. Of course, majority of ideas like these come from Maricopa, where they have just a large mass of citizens. And they see more trouble than we do in Mojave County. But we always want to protect our voters and our landowners. So the assessor's office came up with their own program, and Senate Bill 1479 has implemented Assessor Kench's program to be statewide.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's locking the mailing address for that homeowner so someone can't call and change where your tax bill is going to go.
Oh, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, I thought we lost you for a minute.
Oh.
Anyway, they can't call and do what now with your tax bill?
You can't call and change your mailing address if you sign up for the assessor program.
Mm-hmm.
You would sign up with a notarized signature saying that I own it, I'm not selling it, and I don't want any changes to my record. But that'll be implemented statewide.
That program is $50, correct?
Yes. Per parcel.
A one-time $50 per parcel fee.
Yes.
What about your program?
Completely free. You just need an active email address.
Oh, that's wonderful. And that one will tell you folks if there's anything been recorded against your property. So, or tried to, right?
Correct.
I like that. I like that a lot. And are you seeing a lot of success with that? Are you getting a lot of comments?
We do. We've been live with it since 2024, and we have over 1,000 people and parcels signed up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, let's go ahead and recap what we talked about with voting. Our early voting starts tomorrow. The primary is coming up as well on the 21st. I'll have you recap for
them. All right. Yesterday, June 22nd, was the registration deadline. So now ballots will be mailed out tomorrow, and in-person early voting will also begin. We do ask that people wait a couple days to receive that ballot to 1 week to get your ballot by mail. In-person early voting is open to any registered voter in Mojave County at the Kingman, Havasu, and Bullhead Mojave County Libraries. Those are open 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and it ends on July 17th. July 21st is Election Day. That's 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at your assigned polling location.
Lydia, let me ask you this. Are people automatically opted in for the mail-in ballot, or do you have, in other words, do you have to opt out or do you opt in?
You have to opt in.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Anything else before I let you go?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. We hope we have a record turnout for term primary election.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes,
all right.
It
Lydia Henry, our guest, Mojave County Recorder. Thanks so much, Lydia. Always great to have you on the program. There's so much information that you provide our listeners. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Little Peter Frampton going out for, I don't know, this is for me. right? I'm always playing music for other people. But no, he was fantastic at the Edgewater the last time I saw him. I'm talking to Marissa right now. We had, or he had a guitar stolen years ago, or stolen or misplaced or flown somewhere. His favorite guitar, his favorite Gibson. Yeah. And it got returned after 20-some years or something. There's a crazy story about it. And he was at the Edgewater right after that. It was really cool. It was a fantastic show. All right, back with more in a moment. It's like the third time I saw him, too. Speak Out will continue in a moment. I'll have a final shot when I come back on Speak Out. Marissa June's trying to figure out who's going to be on the show tomorrow. I'm sorry, who? Oh, it's school district day. Ah, well, I'm going to have to figure out what to do with that. Okay, David Rose, I think he's coming on as a candidate, David Rose. And then I have to get a hold of the school district. So hopefully we will make that happen tomorrow. Or I say we, I mean I. But there's no I and we, right? All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. That means Karate Man. I should have just queued up Kung Fu Fighting, right? All right, we got to go to birthday lunch. I can't wait. All right, back with more tomorrow on Speak Out. Well, join us at 11.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.